This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. If you have a driver's license in Massachusetts, you are, knowingly or not, part of a massive facial recognition database used regularly by law enforcement. The RMV says local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies routinely ask it to run images against its millions of license photos looking for matches. In 2015, there were 258 such requests. The Washington Post reports that the FBI and ICE run similar searches with state driver's license databases all across the country. What's the right balance between privacy and safety? Massachusetts Senate Majority Leader Cynthia Cream is proposing a statewide moratorium on government's use of facial recognition software. She joins us on the phone from the State House. Senator Cream, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for asking me.
And in studio is Cade Crockford, director for the Technology for Liberty program at the ACLU of Massachusetts. Cade, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Kelly Nee. She's the chief of police for BU, Boston University, and the former deputy superintendent of the Boston Police Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Analysis. Chief Nee, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. We want you in this conversation. What is the right balance between privacy and safety? What do you think about law enforcement using facial recognition software? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Senator Cream, you and Representative David Rogers have filed moratorium bills on facial recognition and other kinds of biometric surveillance. What are the key elements of your bill?
Well, the bill that I filed would press pause and say, we're not going to, it's very simple. We want to put a pause on the use of this facial recognition or the uses until such time as we know more about it. We have regulations. We're sure it works. Right now, we don't know. We have no evidence that it actually works. We actually have evidence that it isn't effective, that it doesn't work. We actually know that there's no accountability. There's no legislative approval, judicial oversight. You mentioned that using the database for the RMV. There's rights of due process that I think aren't being considered here. Civil liberties, there's racial injustice as far as I can see is how this process actually works. So what are we doing it for?
So, Senator, the RMV has had some capacity like this for a very long time, since I think 2006. What has prompted you to file this bill now?
Well, I, as far as I'm concerned, I have constituents who have said to me, I'm going to march in a march. I march in the Women's March. I don't even know if there's going to be drones taking pictures of me, and then that is going to be used in a way by a government agency. I realized that this was happening, and I said, well, we really shouldn't do this. And so I did a little research, and it was a Globe article that talked about the request from 458 requests for the RMV, searching the driver's license database, and I became concerned. I looked a little closer and saw that there were people that were telling me that this wasn't even effective. And I've been a longtime supporter of criminal justice reform and saw that I feel that it's another way of racial profiling. We know the technology does not work as well on people of color as white women or women of color or men of color. And so we see that the effective rate is so low. And the algorithm just doesn't work. It hasn't been worked to the way it should be. So, again, why are we doing it?
Let me bring a couple of other voices in. Cade Crockford of the ACLU. Senator Cream referred to the Women's March in 2016. Interestingly, the Globe ran a story in 2016. They published a report revealing, that the RMV regularly scans millions of these licenses, photos with facial recognition software. Is that still the case today?
That is the case. This technology poses an unprecedented threat to our privacy and civil liberties. There, as Senator Cream said, have been studies that have shown that it is racially biased, but it's dangerous whether it doesn't work or whether it works. Again, we have significant privacy concerns. It would be trivial, for example, for a state police officer to take a picture of every person at the Women's March, a picture of the crowd, for example, and run that against the driver's license database, effectively downloading automatically a list of every person who attended that protest. Right now in Massachusetts, and this is the case nationwide, there are no regulations in place to control how government agencies use this technology. So we are proposing that we press pause, that we take a breather, and gather all of the necessary parties at the table, law enforcement, civil rights advocates, affected communities from communities of color, to have a conversation about what the appropriate rules ought to look like if we want to integrate this technology into our society at all.
So, Kate, I want to go to a call, but just one question of clarification before I do. Can you explain what you mean by the technology being racially biased? How does something like that work?
Sure. So there have been studies, including studies here in Cambridge at MIT, that have found that the algorithms that animate these technologies actually have racial bias embedded in them. So, for example, some of these algorithms sold by even prominent technology companies have error rates up to 35% when they're examining the faces of black women, whereas with white men, the technology works about 99% of the time.
Okay, thanks. So, Chief Nee, with law enforcement experience, mm-hmm. Cade has painted a pretty stark picture. What is your response to that?
Well, in some points I agree with Cade. I have read the same studies that it's not as accurate when it's when the artificial intelligence is analyzing the faces of black females. With regard to putting a pause on it, I think it is shocking when constituents and citizens of the United States have no idea that some of this technology is being used. But the technology has advanced so far from what's law enforcement is capable of using, that to put a blanket statement that we should never use it when it is an effective tool for solving major crimes and maybe preventing terrorist attacks, that to put a complete pause on it, I don't think is the answer either. But I do understand why citizens of the United States have concern and want to have some consistent regulation on how this technology is used.
Let's take a couple of calls. Teddy from Medford, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm just calling. Thank you for having me. I'm just calling to mirror some of the concerns of the guests. I do think that this is a police accountability issue, and it just has a lot of potential for abuse until we create the proper channels to hold some of our law enforcement accountable, not just Massachusetts law enforcement, but also groups like the NSA and CIA. And I do think this is a Fourth Amendment violation to our rights. I think that's mirrored by some of the recent Supreme Court rulings. So, for example, after Neil Gorsuch got approved to the Supreme Court, there was a case in which they determined that Verizon could not give out third-party information like location data and phone call data without a warrant. So prior to that ruling, police could just immediately go through Verizon. I know this is a little bit different because this is a public department, the RMV, but I still think a similar ruling should apply here.
Teddy, thanks for that call. I appreciate it. Let's also hear from Dalton from Norwell. Dalton, tell us what's on your mind.
Hi. I'm just wondering, in sort of a similar thought process to the last caller, I'm wondering if some constituents or citizens suppose this was a completely effective system and it worked, it was foolproof, and it was easy to identify your potential criminals or your potential threats.
So it worked flawlessly and there were no biases, et cetera.
Yeah. Suppose that were the case, would people still have an issue? I know I would not. If these government agencies, law enforcement, are using their databases or the RMV database of state-issued driver's licenses.
Okay,
it's
thanks for that.
It's not like Verizon with.
Yeah, Dalton, I want to grab it right there, but listeners, call in 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Senator Cream, would you be concerned? Would you be asking for a pause if you were sure that this was unbiased and 100% effective, or is there something more fundamental here that's at issue?
Well, even if it were likely that it worked, there's still the issues of protecting people's civil rights, civil liberties, and whether it still has some racial justice issues. And I would still want to have an opportunity for people to know ahead that their picture was being used and they would be notified. So we have something called due process. And even if it were effective, we'd need to make sure that we had due process. So with everything, there's a balance, and the balance is public safety versus people's individual rights. So it's hard to say what I would do if I knew it was totally effective and all these other things were there. I think that's why having people at the table trying to get out all the issues. But for me, I've always been due process has always been very important to me, and I don't see that happening if you're going in for your driver's license and they're taking your picture and then it's being used for something you have no idea.
So Cade Crockford of the ACLU, due process, civil rights, weigh in.
Sure. So voters in Massachusetts overwhelmingly support the approach that the ACLU and Senator Cream are promoting, which is to press pause, to institute a moratorium on government use of this technology. 79% of Massachusetts voters polled in a recent study supported that approach. 91% of Massachusetts voters, overwhelming huge numbers, said that this technology ought not to be used by government agencies absent regulation, which is currently what's happening. So the moratorium makes sense because we need to not let the technology cart get before the policy horse, right? We should be walking into the 21st century with clear eyes, understanding across the board what we're doing with these technologies, which government agencies should be authorized to use these systems, under what circumstances, subject to which types of legislative and judicial authorization on a case-by-case basis. And that's just not happening right now. We have very little idea what's going on. So, for example, just today, the ACLU of Massachusetts, along with the law firm Ropes & Gray, filed a public records lawsuit against the Registry of Motor Vehicles because we filed two public records requests with that department to try to learn about how the RMV has been making this system available to law enforcement agencies nationwide, and they ignored our request. So that's really troubling. We just don't know enough.
So you've got this lawsuit to try to pull out.
That's right. So we've filed litigation to try to obtain some documents to understand more about how this is going on. But it's frankly irresponsible for government agencies to be deploying these technologies in the dark, especially given the serious concerns that people, including those researchers at MIT, have raised about bias and inaccuracy.
So let's bring the law enforcement voice back in. Chief Kelly Nee, that pause to meet all the conditions that Cade just talked about could be a very long pause. So what does law enforcement sacrifice if this bill is passed and we have this long pause on use of facial recognition?
Well, I think it could compromise some safety concern. It could be compromising to safety to put a long pause on it. The law enforcement agencies that I know have used it prudently and judiciously and under a lot of scrutiny within their own agencies. You know, not everyone can just make a phone call to the RMV and say, can you run this? If I send you an image, can you run it for me? So, I think it is important that there is consistent reasons to use it and it's clear and transparent. But I think to pause something and not allow law enforcement to use technology that's available lawfully could hamper some of our investigations.
So, Senator Cream, a minute ago, Cade said that there's some irresponsibility here. After the Washington Post and with Georgetown Law's Center on Privacy and Technology came out with a big story this week about how the FBI and ICE run thousands of facial recognition searches through the state's driver's license databases, Governor Charlie Baker was prompted to address it, and he had the following to say.
The only time the RMV responds to any sort of a request is a very particular and specific one that involves a federal inquiry. Usually it involves criminal activity. There is no blanket sharing of data with any federal agency associated with law enforcement.
So, Senator, you're critical of how government agencies use facial recognition technology now. Given your bill, it doesn't seem like the governor's response that the RMV only collaborates in specific criminal cases would satisfy you. Is that correct? And if so, why?
Well, it wouldn't satisfy me because we still have the same issues of due process. And just because someone allegedly is involved in a criminal activity, they're innocent until proven guilty. And they still are entitled to due process. They're still entitled to know that if the picture was taken, that it was being used for a purpose other than what they thought it was. So it doesn't satisfy me to say, okay, well, we're just a little bit guilty.
So there's
we're just doing a little bit of bad, but we're not all bad.
There's so much for us to talk about here, but the lines are full. So I'm going to turn back to our callers who can call in at 1-800-423-8255. You, listener, give us a ring, 1-800-423-TALK. John from Arlington, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. I have a point for your discussants that I'd be interested in hearing. So fingerprinting was on the records, and fingerprinting technology has presumably improved exponentially over the years. But that was picked up for criminals, people who had a criminal record. And I think the issue here around due process is that you're getting largely innocent, a fully innocent public who have no say in the use of their photos for this recognition. I'll also say that as a twin, photo recognition, at least on iPhones, doesn't work. My twin can open my phone.
Never even thought about that, John. That's fascinating. I never even thought of that. Steph from Watertown, you join us too. What's on your mind?
So I just made a new discovery this morning when I was online with JetBlue trying to book some airfares, and amidst all the advertising and stuff while I was on hold, I suddenly noticed them saying something about how they're using voice recognition to confirm your identity. And I asked them about it when they got on the phone, and sure enough, now their computers are listening to your voice while you're talking to make sure you are who you say you are. And like everything else, there's a certain sense to that. At the same time, I don't like the idea that everybody can know everything about me without my having any say or control in the matter.
Yeah, I appreciate that. One more, Laura from Cohasset. Laura, tell us what's on your mind.
Really stricken by the comment made about the ability to take a photo, for example, of the women at the Women's March in D.C. and instantly have a list of people who've been there. I'm disabled, and I'm a woman, and I'm a frequent protester in Washington when I can be for things like keeping our pre-existing conditions covered under the ACA and nomination of Kavanaugh. So I do understand that if anyone is going to say that this is, it's perfectly fine to just invade our privacy in this way, using a database designed to give us driver's licenses, that would be, for example, a white man from Norwell. But those of us who do interface peacefully with the government and with law enforcement have a right to a modicum of our personal information not being made available.
Laura, thanks so much for that. I'm going to turn back to our panelists. We have so many voices and so many issues.
So that last point is really critical, because actually the process that the RMV has implemented, as far as we can tell, and we've learned this through public records that we received a few years ago from them, it actually is as simple as someone in law enforcement emailing somebody at the RMV and saying, I need you to run this image for me. That is exactly what the process is. There's no external oversight, no judicial oversight, no transparency requirements. People, as far as we know, who have these searches run against them are not even notified when they're eventually prosecuted. And that's a really serious issue, because people need to be able to, in our legal system, interrogate witnesses. And this is effectively a digital witness. So the fact that it seems like law enforcement in Massachusetts and nationwide have actually been hiding the use of this technology from criminal defendants raises really serious constitutional concerns. So the idea that law enforcement in Massachusetts would use a technology like this, for example, to identify protesters, is not actually so far off. We have a very recent history, actually, of the state police having been engaged
in... Can you give a particular example?
Sure. So just a few months ago, the state police accidentally tweeted an image of one of their browsers at the Fusion Center in Maynard that included a bunch of quick links to basically leftist political organizations, okay, indicating that they are keeping tabs on what political activists are doing in the state.
Okay, so Chief Nee, there's a lot of tension here, mm-hmm, and Cade's got a specific example of why this is risky. What's your response to that?
My former employee with the Boston Police Department and the intelligence unit, we were strictly prohibited from keeping tracks of peaceful protesters, who people were associating with and gathering with. The only thing that we could monitor was criminal activity and people engaged in criminal activity or potential terrorist activity.
So, Senator Cream, that was this distinction about criminal activity versus, for example, peaceful protest. One of the callers, at least, hit this tension between, well, wait a minute, it's one thing to track people who have been arrested or engaged in the criminal justice system, but when I voluntarily get a driver's license, no one tells me I'm volunteering to be tracked.
Sorry, I just have to say, being arrested does not mean you're guilty.
No, that's true. That's absolutely
true. An arrest
true.
Is not guilt.
No, it's not. And I don't think I implied that.
I don't think you did either. Okay. But I just wanted to be clear, because the caller seemed to indicate that. Okay. Someone who's arrested is guilty. And that's not true. And in this system, we're presumed innocent.
So, Senator Cream, go ahead.
You asked, I just have one comment. So there was the ACLU did an Amazon facial recognition test and matched 28 members of Congress to criminal mugshots. And lo and behold, my congressman, Congressman Markey, was pulled out as one of the as a potential criminal. Now, I know he's not. I have a lot of respect for him. And it just clearly showed me that that even in those kinds of circumstances, there's serious problems with the algorithm. So, I mean, you know, you can't say, oh, it's okay because it's just criminal activity. You know, you're also trying to match up something when you don't even have a good system to do it.
Yeah, that is really striking. And that does raise one last question that I want to make sure to ask, which is that was Amazon technology. This
right.
is all about the government. But mm-hmm. isn't this horse already out of the barn on the private sector side?
Well, the private sector has all of these facial recognitions. People are voluntarily submitting them into Facebook, into all this other facial recognition software. But I do recognize that there's a big difference when the government has access to it. And I want to be clear that this was never a smoking gun situation with law enforcement and criminal investigations. It's another tool to guide the investigation into the correct direction, help us try to identify a potential suspect. But everything has to be corroborated. It is never on a positive hit on facial recognition.
Last word, Cade?
So on the question of private use, I think we ought to regulate it eventually. And the state of Illinois has a very important law called the Biometric Information Privacy Act, which requires that you opt in to any biometric data collection scheme on the part of a private company. We think that's the right approach and that Massachusetts should eventually get there. But what we need to do right now is press pause on the government's use of this untested, dangerous and potentially, frankly, dystopian technology. I mean, the way that we're seeing, for example, the PRC, the Chinese government, use this in Zhangjiang province to track and control a religious minority.
Sorry, I got to cut you off there. Senator Cream, will you get the bill passed?
Well, I'm going to try pretty hard. I'm very optimistic. I have some good bipartisan support, so I feel pretty good about it.
Massachusetts Senate Majority Leader Cynthia Cream, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Cade Crockford, Director of the Technology for Liberty Program for the ACLU of Massachusetts. Thanks for being with us,
Thank
too.
You so much.
And Kelly Nee, Chief of Police for Boston University and former Deputy Superintendent of the Boston Police Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Analysis. Chief Nee, thanks for being with us on
My
Radio
pleasure.
Boston.
Thank you.
Hey, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.